so thankful that you are here today, whether you're here in person, and I know that there's people joining us online, because even in the past 24 hours, bumping into people saying, Pastor, we're not back yet, but we're here joining you online, and I'm grateful for that. So welcome to all of you in the sanctuary, in the courtyard, joining us online. Happy New Year, and congratulations. Happy New Year's and congratulations, because if you are here today, right, whether in person or online, here is the good news. You have made it through two of the stormiest years of your entire lives. Probably two of the stormiest years we have ever experienced in our lifetimes, and you've made it. So happy New Year's and congratulations. And of course, the storms that I'm talking about are not the little bit of rain that we've been blessed with over the past weeks. Wasn't that great? That was so needed, and what an answer to prayer that was. But I'm talking about a different kind of storm. I'm talking about the storms of a global pandemic, of political chaos, and then the ensuing kind of culture wars, you know, that we've just been embroiled with in our society and really around the world. And here's the news that is not so comforting. No one is predicting that these storms are going away, right? No one is saying, oh, that was, you know, 2020, 2021. No, as we look to the future, people are saying, yeah, these storms look like they are here for the long haul. And so the world, really the best the world has to offer us, and maybe you've seen this kind of pop up in your news feed like I have, but the best the world has to offer us is saying, well, maybe we're starting to figure out how to adapt, right, to these new realities and to life that's just kind of crazy. And you know what? I don't find a lot of hope in that, of just like adapting to these storms and this perpetual onslaught of yuck that we're faced with in our life. But that's the best the world has to offer. But I have some better news for you. The news is that we have the ability to stand strong and to be firm, because we can be anchored to Jesus no matter the storm that the world throws at us. We can be anchored in Jesus. And Jesus talked about that. And one of the ways that he talked about that was in this really cool little story that he tells. And he tells a story about two different kinds of lives, and he uses kind of contractors to kind of set his illustration, right? We have some contractors that are part of our church family. Well, God, in the person of Jesus, talked about two lives by talking about two different contractors, and we find this little story that Jesus told in the book of Luke. In Luke 6, starting in verse 46, this is what Jesus says. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Right, that's a good question. Why do you call Jesus Lord and don't do what he says? Then he goes on, he says, as for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they're like. They're like this contractor. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep. Everybody say, dug down deep. One more time. Dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like another contractor. It's like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. So two lives, right? Illustrated by two contractors building houses. And there's this compare and contrast that's going on. He's comparing and contrasting these two. So there's some things that are the same in these two stories, and there's some that are different. Here's what's the same in both of these stories. Number one, floods are coming. Floods are coming. This, like, in other words, we can't say that there won't be storms in our lives. That would be foolish to say that. Storms come both to the one who built the house on the rock and the one who built his house on just the dirt without a foundation. Storms are coming. They're just a normal part of life that we navigate. Here's the other thing that was the same, though, as well. Both of these contractors started with dirt. They both started with dirt. One dug down deep through the dirt, right? They got out that shovel. They got out the backhoe. They did the hard work of actually digging through this soil to get to something substantial and firm, and they dug all the way down to the rock. The other one, the other contractor, I don't want to hire this guy because he took the easy way out, right? He took the easy way of not digging down and just like, okay, whatever is here, we're just going to start building right here on the dirt. And so all of this stuff that, you know, that was not solid tried to put a house on there. And, you know, I think that we can get a really mistaken belief about life sometimes. We can look at other people's lives and say, well, that person didn't have to start with the dirt that I started with in my life. If I would only have had their soil to work with, because I think that person just started with rock, right? Like if I would have had their life, if I would have had their parents, right? If I would have had their education, their money, you know, whatever it is in their story that you think has helped them to build a solid life. No, Jesus dispels that right here and says, guess what? We all start with dirt. Some people dig down and find the rock, and other people, they just build right on there. And so when the storms come, guess what happens? Get knocked over. So everyone starts with dirt. Maybe you've had more dirt to dig through than the person sitting next to you. I don't know. But guess what? There's somebody that had more dirt than you to dig through in their story. But we all start with dirt. And that brings me hope, I think. But then there's some differences. A couple of things that are the same. We all start with dirt and storms are coming. But there's a couple of things that are different here in this example that Jesus gives. One of the person, of course, dug down deep, not taking the easy way out. They did the hard work of getting down to rock so that they could anchor their life on something that was solid, that wasn't going to be shifting, the shifting sands of, you know, that happen when storms come. And of course, the other thing that is different in these stories is that the house that was anchored, it stood firm when the storms hit. The other one, not so much. It collapsed. His destruction was complete. And we think about those two lives and those ways of approaching life. Now, we can look at our own stories and we have to kind of look in the mirror and say, what kind of a contractor am I, right? And I promise you that none of us wants to get to the end of 2022 and look back at a life that's been hit by storms and has been left in shambles, that's been destroyed, that is just lying in pieces. And not only at the end of 2022, but none of us wants to get to the end of our days and look back at a life that is in shambles and that collapsed. Every single one of us wants to have a life that, like Jesus talked about, this house is well built, that is able to weather the storms and go through things that are going to be challenging and are going to be difficult and stand firm. And maybe not only provide a place for ourselves, but a place for others that can come for safety and resource. But Jesus gives this promise that's embedded within this little story here. The promise is this, that a solid and secure life is possible if that life is anchored into Jesus himself. If our lives are anchored in him, then we can have lives that are solid and secure. And how did he say to do that? How did he say that we need to anchor our lives in him? Very simply, Jesus puts it this way, to be people who not only hear my word, but who put it into practice. It's not enough to only hear. It's people who hear it and do it that are those whose lives are anchored into Jesus himself. So we're beginning this series today by looking at four different things of being how we anchor our lives into Jesus. How do we set our anchor down deep into that rock so that no matter what comes, we're going to be standing safe and secure? So over these 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about learning to become anchored in the Word. That's today. Then we're going to be talking about being anchored in prayer, being anchored in mission, and then being anchored in community. Four things that I really find are four practices. Like, you know, don't just hear the word, but put it into practice. All four of these things need to become things that are part of our practice, our habits, our behavior as believers that will help us to anchor ourselves to God himself. And today we're talking about being anchored in the word. And I want to start by looking at two places in God's word that talk about God's word. And it's like, hey, this is cool because the Bible talks about the Bible to help us understand what it actually looks like to have God's word become an anchor for our soul. The first of these two places is where the Apostle Paul is talking to his spiritual son, Timothy, and he's talking to him about the importance of the Word of God, and it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And Paul writes and he says this, and I just love this. Listen to these anchoring words that he uses. He says to Timothy, he says, you've been taught the Holy Scriptures, right? That's what we're talking about, God's Word, the Bible. The Holy Scriptures. And he says, you've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you wisdom, the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes from trusting in Christ Jesus. I mean, you stop right there and you go, whoa, that's a major anchor. We get that wisdom that leads to salvation in Jesus. How? Through the Word of God. That's how we get it. Man, talk about an important anchor. And then he goes on and he says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Oh, I love this. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Man, what an anchor. What an anchor for our souls to have God's word. And then to another group of friends, the Apostle Paul writes this to those in Thessalonica. He wrote this. It's in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And he says this. He says, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it. You accepted it. You received this anchor. You accepted it. Not as a human word, but as it actually is. The word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Did you hear that? It's at work in you who believe. It's at work because we're hearing it and then we're putting it into practice. It's at work. I love how the Passion Translation takes that last little phrase and doesn't just say it's at work in you. This is how it reads in the Passion Translation. It says, the word continues to be an energizing force in you who believe. Isn't that good? The word of God is this energizing force in you who believe. Man, if you've ever seen pictures or commercials of the Energizer Bunny, right? Just moving along, you know what? And then it turns around and it shows you it's because I've got this Energizer battery just stuck right in me so I can keep going. I am energized. It's the Energizer Bunny. Well, God calls us to be energized believers. How many believers do you run into who say, well, yeah, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I'm, you know, I follow Christ, whatever. But they're like, dead. No battery. What we're seeing here is that the word of God itself is this energizing force that we need in our lives. If the word of God is not coursing through us and animating our lives, quickening our understanding, giving us the wisdom that we need to navigate this crazy stormy world that we're living in, I'm telling you, we are ill-equipped. It ain't gonna work well for us. We need the word of God, because what we see in these two scriptures here, listen to this. I'm just gonna bring this little synopsis here. The word of God, we just read, is inspired by God himself. It leads us to salvation in Jesus. It shows us what's wrong in our stories, in our lives. And then it teaches us to do what's right. It equips us and prepares us to live life well, to do good, and it energizes our lives of faith. Now, what an amazing anchor that God has given us by giving us his word. But listen, I think that there's too many believers who think that they can have a life that is energized, right? With someone else's battery. And like someone else, man, they plug into the word of God. And so it's like, well, pastor, that's why I give an offering. It's because we pay you to study God's word for us. I'm just going to pay you. Mike, I'm just going to pay you to have devotions for me, bro. Okay? You just do all that, and then you just come and spoon feed me. Just give me a little bit of energy. Just give me that. And we think that we can live our lives through someone else's experience in the word of God. So, well, we come to church, and I guess I'm getting a little bit of word of God. Didn't you just read me some of the word of God? Mm-hmm, I did. But that little drip ain't what you need to have a life that is anchored in the Lord. My battery isn't sufficient to power y'all. You need your own battery. You need your own anchor. In fact, I'm just going to put it this way, and it's really blunt. It's really harsh. So just kind of buckle up and get ready. You ready? No one, including you, including me, no one will become spiritually mature by trying to hold on to someone else's anchor. It doesn't work that way. For you to become spiritually mature, you need to drop your own anchor into the rock. You need to become people of the Word. Secure, anchored to the Word, so that you will be strong, stable, firm, equipped, energized. We need to develop the practice or the habit. Remember Jesus said, hear my word and put it into practice. We each one need to develop the practice, the habit of being people who consistently are in God's word, who are reading God's word, who are receiving God's word for ourselves. That's how we drop this anchor. And to help with that, we are launching a little initiative here right at the beginning of 2022 to help our church family in this practice of dropping anchor into God's word. We're calling it SM4 260. SM4 260. On your way in, I believe, can everybody wave to me that you got one of these little brochures, little pamphlets right here, SM4 260, it says on the front. If you don't have one, Larry will bring one to you right now, or Kelly. Anybody need one? Anybody need an extra? Make sure you've got one. Listen, let me tell you about this, SM4 260. For years, I've pastored this church now for, in a month, it'll be 7 years. For years, I have wanted us to have some kind of a reading plan that we could like be in together, that we could like, we're just as a church family walking through God's word together. But I have a confession to make. I haven't done it because there's been a problem. The problem has been me. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I love God's word. I love it. I eat it up. But I am a very slow reader of the Bible. I can't read the Bible fast the way that some people do. Man, I'm on YouVersion, and I'm like flipping through my little community that I follow, and like, oh man, this person completed this reading plan, and this person looks like they read 30 chapters in the Bible. I'm like, holy smokes. I am a slow Bible, because I'm like, I get into like a word or a phrase, and I'm just like captivated by that. And then I'm like marking it up, and I'm like writing notes, and then I'm flipping pages, and I'm going, wait a second, Jesus said something else similar to that. I want to go back and see how these things connect. And I'm like doing all this stuff in my brain. In fact, I've got a picture of my Bible for you, just so that you can see that I really do like, you know, I read the Bible. I mess up my Bible. I got this wide margin Bible. Man, some people like, they want a new Bible every year. It's like, no, now this is my Excalibur, right? This is the sword of the Spirit, man. And I mess up my Bible and I read slow. But here's been my like frustration, and how would we get into the word together as a church family? Like, can I actually ask people to read slow? You know, it's like most of the plans, and you may be familiar with this, most of the plans, like for consistently walking, like in this daily or weekly rhythm of Bible reading, and most of them are like through the Bible in a year kind of plans. And again, confession. I have started those. I've started those on more than one occasion. And I get to about March, and I am so far behind, and the guilt and the sense of failure begins to consume my life, and I'm like, I'm never going to be able to do this. And so you know what? I give up. And then I go back to my reading plan, right? And so I'm introducing something that I believe that we can do together. Because, listen, I'm a slow reader, but I can do the reading plan that we are initiating as a church family. So, how's it going to work? The way it is going to work is that rather than trying to read the entire Bible in a year, what I'm inviting you, what I am challenging you to join in on is reading through the New Testament in a year. And that comes to this interesting name. Why do we call it SM4 260? Well, SM4 is the Santa Maria Four Square Church. That's our little abbreviation. So it's us, right? We get that. What is 260? I think this is the coolest thing ever. Check this out. There are 260 chapters in the New Testament. Did you know that? I had to be reminded of that. It's like, wow, that's okay. That doesn't sound too huge. Check this out. There are also exactly 260 weekdays in a year. The exact same number. Monday through Friday, 52 weeks out of the year, there are 260 days, weekdays in a year, and there are 260 chapters in a year.